about Remy?
Remy?
Remy.
How about Remy?
Remy's nice. I like Remy.
Remy's nice?
Yeah.
Because I have to say, our listeners came up trumps with your asking for... Was it... What was it? Unusual? I don't want to say the word odd. Unusual?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it was moderately unusual baby names for boys.
Moderately unusual. God, it's quite convoluted. Moderately unusual baby names for boys. And can I say... Listeners are fabulous, so thank you for it. So it was
awesome.
Kate that came up with Remy, Gibson, or how do you, B-A-E-N, Bane? Bean? Bane?
Bean?
Bean?
Bean? Bean? She's talking about a dog.
Bean Austin. I like that. Bean. I quite like Bean. I don't think you say Bean, do you?
Don't like Bean.
You don't like Bean? Kate, I'm really sorry. I've probably got that all wrong. Okay, so we've got some Italian names from Laura.
Okay, well, okay, that's going to be tough for us to pull off.
No, but we'll see if any of those you feel... No, we've got Italian and non-Italian, okay? So Italian, right. We've got Luca.
Uh-huh.
Ennio.
Ennio? I've never heard of Ennio before.
Well, you wanted unusual. Marco.
Mm-hmm.
Flavio. Emilio. Valerio. I can't see your son being Valerio. and Paolo.
Paolo.
But
okay.
Then Laura also said if you want some non-Italian names, you could have Perry,
right.
Victor, Sammy, or Tyler.
That's a lot to digest.
But I find it, I'm going to send you these lists. I find, don't you, when you think of names, you think about people you knew. It might be someone from school or someone you met. And if you like the name, but you say you didn't really like the person, you thought the person was a bit odd, you can't use that name.
You can't. Well, there are lots of things like that. And that is where Ben's very annoying because, I don't know, he just knows everyone, somebody who has had every name there's ever been. So he's not happy about it. But so for me, genuinely, like I really like the name Roger, but there's no way I can call my son Roger doing the job that I do because everybody will think I've called him after Roger Federer. And I haven't. I just really like the name Roger.
Yeah, you can't.
Can you imagine if I turn up and I'm like, this is Roger? Everyone would be like, what?
The issue we had, without going into exact names, was I didn't want to consider any name that's been used for any member of a royal family because I didn't want people to think, oh, look, big royal family fans. As it turns out, the royals decided to go down the route that we went, and the amount of people that say to me, oh, were you inspired by, despite the fact that my child is 4, 5, whatever years older than said royal baby.
They're just not quite enough older for it to be kind of obvious. Do you know what I mean?
It's nothing to do with it.
But you live in Windsor. You're clearly a super fan.
Well, it's just honestly, because children, especially male children, sometimes get out of control in parks. So the amount of times you say, oi, come here, X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever. So I sort of shout the name. And the amount of time people have come up to me saying, oh, that's lovely. Did you get the inspiration from? I'm like, no, look, this child is running. This child is talking. How can I be inspired by a child that's... So we get a lot of that.
Also, the royal family tend to use names that are kind of, you know, they're names. They're names that are used.
What do you mean they're names?
They're names that are used by other people, as in...
What? Yeah, but...
They're not the only children with those names.
No, but they're not... It's not... Oh, I don't know.
I know it's a bit annoying.
They're not everywhere, but they probably now will be the next generation. There'll be a lot more of them.
Right.
So my boys, they're the only ones of their names in their school.
Right, there you go.
Ah, but... When you meet parents who have got younger children, I've already found some more of their names who are coming through.
Yeah.
So I think that there'll be people going, right, running through royal families. But there is that kind of thing. And I should say from Kesha, she sent us an email via our website and she was really sweet. She said, look, I'm a big fan, but I'm a quiet one. But obviously this cry for baby name help spurred Kesha into action.
Okay, good.
And she came up with one of them. I'm not sure if I can say this right. So we've got Sebastian.
Okay. Good name.
I can say that. Carlos.
Right.
Libra, as in, well, the star sign, or free.
Okay,
like
no.
French, it's like free. Your child can be free.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
Gian.
Right. These are unusual. I love this. This is... I've not seen
Ellery.
These.
And I'm not sure if I... And Stian. I think it's Stian. I don't think it's Dillian. I think it's Stian.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah,
interesting. What do you think? Yeah. Well, I like that they're coming up with names that I've not heard of before. I'll have to have a proper look at the list.
But no, you can't be going tennis player. You can't have a Roger. You can't have a Rafa. You can't have an Andy.
But what if one of the names is just something that I just really like?
You know, a name I really liked, not that I'm saying I'm about to go and have more children, is I like Stan.
Yeah.
I like the name Stan.
It's a great
I think Stan,
name.
Stan is a great name. And I'm probably not, I think you're even more tied up in the tennis world. I think if I called my child Stan, people would not link it immediately to the Swiss tennis player. But you go down the Roger, Andy, Rafa, Stan path. There's no comeback.
Yeah.
There's so much comeback for you. I mean, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
That's a tennis name.
I know. And I wouldn't be able to really deny it, to be honest. It would just be stupid. No, it's not after Roger. That would be stupid.
Why don't you sneak Roger as a middle name? Because then it can be, oh, it was a grandfather, great-great-grandfather.
Nah, still, it's not. Yeah, it's not happening anyway. But to be honest, it's not a name that I would have chosen, but it's just, I just did consider it the other day, that it's a name that I like and I just cannot use.
I feel there's so much I want to talk to you about in this week's podcast, because we were speaking before we came on air, and I was actually downstairs and my phone rang, and it actually was my mum. She left a message, and you know your phone rings you back.
Yeah.
And for some reason, my phone was ringing on my computer, an iPad and my phone. So there's a lot of ringing going on. And I left it the first time, left it the second time. Third time, I suddenly thought, what if Naomi has gone into labour and she's ringing me to tell me she can't do the podcast?
Ah.
That was actually a genuine thought.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
Well, it was my mum wanting to go for a walk. But there was a moment I suddenly thought, because you're not that far away from a day and you don't know the exact day it's going to happen. So it's a genuine concern that we might not speak to each other like this for a while after this.
Yeah, no, maybe right? not. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, there's a chance I'm in labour right now, to be honest. So,
wow.
You know what?
It's hard I think to you're tell. Doing really well. What? No, well, it's not.
I'm just very, very beginning.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, okay. I think, well, if you are, you're doing really well. And this would be a very strange turn for this podcast to take. So partly why I wanted to give you all those names. So maybe when you are
ready.
In labour, one of those will be in your subconscious. And suddenly you'll shout out, Flavio, when you're in labour.
Okay, I like
and,
it.
And Ben will be like, oh. We actually, a lot of people got in touch last week, and we're always really appreciative of people who listen, who enjoy. A couple of people saying, we're going back into lockdown, so I hope you guys are going to keep going. Well, we're going to keep going until you go into labour. Angela said, myth busted, read the squash. Remember when I was told I couldn't do squash and tennis, and then I was told by
yes.
Claire Curran, our friend, that you could actually, and squash has actually been known to be helpful for tennis and vice versa. And Sarah got in touch with a squash fact. The squash players at her club have been given honorary tennis memberships while the squash courts are closed, and they are really good tennis players.
Interesting. But they don't normally play tennis? I guess not.
No, because they play squash.
But you can play both.
No, but they have squash memberships.
Have you ever gone on YouTube and watched like some of the best squash shots?
No.
Because I actually have. It is insane.
As in recently after we were talking about it, or you
no.
is something you do?
No, this is something that just did ages ago. I don't know, I just like looking at cool stuff, right? And I mean, some of the stuff they do is amazing. Have you seen how they, when the ball, it bounces and it's sort of like when it hangs in the air a little bit. You know, in tennis, obviously, you just have your racket back and you're ready to go. They take the racket. I don't even know how to explain it. Any squash fan is just going to be head in their hands right now.
Come on.
But they do like around the world. You do around the world. Like the racket goes around the ball.
Yeah.
And then they hit it. It's like a fake. It's a dummy. So you don't know which way they're going to hit it. Because obviously in squash, you can hit it in any direction because it's mental. And so they like flick the racket around the ball. I saw one, the guy did it three times. He went around the ball three times before hitting it in a direction. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Watch some of the best squash shots or the best squash points for sure.
I'm not going to say it's not high on my list in terms of, I know we're in lockdown and we are a little bit more restricted as to what we can do. I can't promise that by next week I'll have watched the best squash shots in the world.
No, you should. No. I'm telling you. No, you have to. That's your homework.
It's my homework.
Send you a link.
My homework last week was looking at bonking, and used to be a runner. Sent us a message, said that he used to bonk on a regular basis, but not so much these days.
Thanks. And he used to be a runner.
It is It is very much a running thing.
So I got it right. Yeah,
you did get it right. It is a leg thing in running.
See? Loose facts aren't so loose, are they?
That one just had a real looseness about it. And there's a really interesting email from, it's turning into a listener's pod, isn't it? From
wow, yeah.
Mary, but I really do appreciate, as we do, that people get in touch with us. This was an email again through the website saying she enjoys the podcast, just finishing listening to the most recent one. I'd like to comment on the discussion around lockdown and low-risk sports like tennis, golf and fishing. And then she puts in bracket, is that even a sport? Well, I would say,
well,
no.
Yeah, quite.
Exactly, quite. And we definitely know it's not for Naomi. She goes on to say, we've just come out of the end of our second lockdown in Melbourne, which was severe, where anything outdoors exercise-wise were limited to 1 hour per day and within 5 kilometres of home. No tennis, no golf, playgrounds closed. It was made very clear by the health experts that while these activities were low risk, it was very important to limit all movement and cross contact between households as much as possible. And that it's not one single thing that will make the difference to infection rates, but the cumulative totals of lots of things, big and small. So the more little things you restrict, the better. Our second lockdown was more restrictive than the first, and mentally it's harder too. Then goes on to say, I'm sending you both my best wishes and hugs and all the best to Naomi for the new arrival to Flavio or Enrico, who's going to be with us.
You really want the Flavio to stick,
I like,
don't you?
That. I love that. So, Mary, thank you very much, and we're glad that the lockdown has been eased and you're coming through the other side. I think for me, it was more that because over here, this lockdown, it isn't as severe, and the schools are still open. I mean, in terms of a daily day, I don't know. Well, you, I mean, I'm hoping you're resting when not building like nursery stuff. But for me, the day hasn't really changed. I'm allowed to exercise. I have to take the kids to school and bring them back. I can take them to the playground that's open if I need to get something from the shops. I mean, most of the shops on the high street where I live are pretty much open, apart from clothes shops. So I think then you look at things like outdoor sports for 5-6-year-olds and you kind of wonder why they can't happen. But at the same time, I get the less people you have in contact, the better it is.
Yeah, I suppose it's about what comes with it, isn't it? That the parents have to then turn up and all that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, look, we have to admit, even our first lockdown, which was much stricter than this one, you know, is nothing, not a patch on some of the other countries in terms of their lockdowns, where, you know, people literally did not leave homes at all. And of course, Melbourne, it's been pretty strict for quite some time. So we have to... I mean, I don't know whether that makes us fortunate or not. I mean, it's fortunate in the short term, but is it fortunate in the long term? Who knows? Who knows what the right answer is? But yeah, this is a situation that we're in. And I suppose just selfishly, I'm not normally that selfish, to be fair, but just selfishly, as I say, it doesn't really impact me much at all. As long as I can get the baby out and everything's fine, we're...
You know what? That's definitely going to happen. Lockdown or no lockdown, Roger
it's come
is
out one way or another.
Roger's coming out one way or the other.
Oh, little Rog! Can you imagine little Rog? So cute. Oh.
You know, we're just going to end up whatever you officially name your child. I'm just going to call him Roger. And every time,
fair enough.
I see Ben's like, you know, he's not called Roger, and I was like, yeah, but you know, it kind of fits really. So what we do have this week, end of this week, what I do have. Is London. We've got on the men's side of things.
Oh yes.
There's one more push, there's one more tournament, right?
I know. I'd almost forgotten about it, to be honest. It's such a shame that the last London, the last O2 event is gonna be like this. It is a bit rubbish.
Well, and you know, I think what's even sadder is it's the 50th anniversary.
All the stars have aligned. And let's be fair, the O2 have done it brilliantly. I mean, it being hosted in London for me is, I mean, outside of a slam, it's by far for me the best event in terms of an indoor event to make it as good as that, because, you know, indoors is a little bit different to sort of having the atmosphere of outside and that sort of thing. I think it is an awesome event. I've been so lucky to be able to work on it the last few years and be there and experience it. I just absolutely love it. And it's such a shame that it's going to go out like this, because I think everybody's loved it being in London, and we understand that it's got to move, but it's been there for ages, right? And it will be off to Turin.
Yeah.
And hopefully in Turin, things will be looking a little bit more normal back end of 2021. But yeah, so it's a bit of a shame, because it would have been an awesome send off. And I know there are lots of people that I know who stupidly have waited an entire decade to not go. And we're like, well, we were going to go this year. We wanted to go before it moved.
Not happening. No, I know. And I know that they had lots of things planned because it's 50 years that this event has been held. So in recognition of that, we're going to have Group Tokyo 1970 and Group London 2020, because normally the singles groups are named after former players.
Oh, so you're either London or Tokyo?
Yeah, you're London or Tokyo. And the doubles groups are going to be called Group Bob Bryan and Group Mike Bryan. So the twins have been separated.
Which one's better?
In recognition of the careers, because they've obviously retired this year and they were going to do a final few tournaments, but due to COVID and not having any fans, they decided not to. So we've got, I think that ceremony's taking place on Thursday. A few people have sort of been saying, how is it different? Because London, as we know, is currently on a second lockdown. And as you touched on there, so no fans are going to be allowed in this event. The players are all going to stay in one hotel. On arrival, they will all be tested and must remain in the hotel until they have a negative test result, which they've kind of got used to now since we...
Yeah, standard procedure, it sounds like.
...resumed. Then apparently the players are going to be tested every 4 days on average, which again is... They've kind of got used to it. I mean, it's sort of pretty standard. If any player breaks the bubble without a valid reason, they will be defaulted.
I like that you've put that in, though. Was it clear.
The US Open? There was some kind of yellow line in the reception of the hotel, and it was kind of like, if you cross this, you're out. Like, if you don't have it, if you're not getting on the bus to Flushing Meadows, you know, if you just suddenly wander over it, that's... And there'll be no linesmen or women, so we've got Hawkeye Live calling all the lines, which is a little bit... It's going to have a little feel of the next-gen finals, because the next-gen finals, which has been postponed for this year due to COVID, was similar to the O2 in case of, like, music and lights flashing and all a bit sort of jazzy, but they were the first ones, because that's... It's not an experimental tournament, but it's an event where they can trial new things. So we had the towel boxes and we had Hawkeye Live. So it's going to be Hawkeye Live in London this year.
Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
With Hawkeye Live, you may not know the answer, so
Okay. If not, you can answer it with a loose fact.
I'll just make up an answer.
Question and answer.
With.
Off you go.
Yeah, I've just been paying attention a little less this week. That's just, right. I've just been busy. Yep. That's just the way it is. But with Hawkeye Live, because Hawkeye Live at Next Gen, yes, which was the first tournament to use it, yes, you can do the video replays of, say, I don't know, Kubot leans over the net to play a volley and you're not allowed to do that. Lovely. And you can do a video replay. Or a double bounce and you can do a video replay. Is that included in the Hawkeye Live package?
What I've noticed with Hawkeye Live is that it has shown replays of close calls. It can show a close call. So I imagine there might be an element of that. So obviously they can't challenge. I quite like the fact they can't challenge, and it is what it is. But if something's pretty close, so the player doesn't...
I love it. I love how stubborn they get. I want to see it. Put it on the screen.
But I quite like this. Can you imagine? Instead of festering for the next three games or maybe losing the match because of a call that they thought was out but it was actually in, they will show close calls. So it's kind of, there you go. And they may have gone all kind of air, but it's shown and they move on. So we've got Hawkeye Live, which the likes of... And the other thing is we've got Stefanos Tsitsipas, defending champion, came through Next Gen. Daniil Medvedev has played Next Gen. Andre Rublev has played Next Gen. I mean, I don't know how much credit we're giving to Next Gen in that push and that drive to reach that season-ending tournament and going on from there. Karen Khachanov, he's not in London, but he's another one that came through at Next Gen. It's providing a bit of a platform for these young guys to have something to aim for and to aspire to at that stage of their career.
Oh, I think so. I think it's contributed hugely. I think it's also a little bit lucky with timing, because you can't force the players to kind of come out of nowhere. You can't just say, right, we're going to give you this tournament and now you've got to get good because we need so many players. That's not how it works. But I think it's a combination of, very lucky with that we really do have this wave coming. It's interesting because we had... Zverev obviously didn't play because he qualified for the O2 a couple of times when he was still eligible.
And the first time he flew over to do an exhibition match, remember? And then flew out again.
Oh, yeah. He played against Tsitsipas, who was the alternate. No, look, I think it's it's a fantastic event. I think it really gives them a sense of belonging. You know, these guys who are young up and comers are selling out that place in Milan, and you know, being there and experiencing it. It is an awesome, awesome tournament. It's very much based on the O2 in terms of the style of it. You know, even down to, not the O2, but the tour finals, because even down to they don't have the tram lines, which is the old.
That
school.
Took me a while. That's weird to get used to. When you look at that, you're like, oh, there's something different. Wow, that's weird. It's just, it must be really strange for players. Yeah. So used to playing with the tram lines, and then suddenly they've gone.
Yeah, so strange. I really think that it helps them deal with a lot of pressure, and nothing to do with the scoring system. You know, I'm not really into the whole sort of there are bigger moments all of the time, more frequently in the scoring system, because they just play first of four in each set. Because the longer it takes to get to a big moment, the bigger that moment becomes. So yeah, I don't really see that. But in terms of dealing with the pressure of being the person, being the people that people are there for, the media are here for you, Stefanos Tsitsipas and Hyun Chung, of course, the winner of the first one.
Yeah.
They're not here for Federer, Djokovic and Nadal, and oh, because you're here, they'll ask you a couple of questions. They have come to Milan to see you. These people have bought tickets. You are the person, you're on the billing. Jannik Sinner, of course, winner of last year. And you are the draw. And what comes with that is a lot of pressure, a lot of press attention. You know, the whole tournament hangs on you. And that's sort of the feeling that the top few guys have had throughout, you know, the last 15 years, really, isn't it? And I think that is a really important thing to get used to. Just that sense of belonging that, yeah, you can be the person that walks out on court as the favourite. And we've seen the winners of Next Gen do so, so well, right? Like, right off the bat.
It's something for them, of course, at that age, you should have loads of aims or goals or however you structure your year. But at the beginning, to know that you're in this race with guys around your age and you're competitive, aren't you? You want to beat the guys around your age. You want to be better than them, however good friends you are off court. And then, you know, you could get to Milan and, you know, there's like these, there's the party, there's the opening ceremony, there's everything that goes with it, there's the fun. As you say, they have bought tickets to look at you. They're not like really disappointed because Federer suddenly pulls out the last minute and they've got you. They have gone to see. I think it's been brilliant. And the fact that we've now seen the transition of a handful of them. I mean, when we look at London, we've got Tsitsipas, defending champion in London. We've got Daniil Medvedev, who's well and truly established himself in that top chunk of players. I mean, look, a lot of these guys aren't old. Thiem is not old, and Zverev is not old. Diego Schwartzman, he's what, late 20s, but wonderful to see him in London. And then you've got Andrei Rublev. So for me this year, I absolutely love the mix. So two groups, round robin, best two qualify, then it's knockout for people who aren't familiar with London. But I love the fact we've got this mix of the guys who've been there for years and years and still performing at the very, very top. And then we've got your Andrei Rublev, who hits every ball as if it's the last ball he's ever going to hit in his life.
Yeah, the poor balls.
I mean, those balls, when they get taken out the can and they look around, not that they do, and they see Rublev, who seems like a very lovely, mild-mannered when you talk to him, and a very lovely man, but they must see him and just want to get back in that can.
Yeah, I know, right? It's pretty intense. I mean, it's scary, sorry, isn't it? But I think it's really terrifying. Good, because I was listening to you on radio, and when you've got Rublev on, because there's just so much sound effect with the way, I mean, he's so loud when he hits the ball. Oh. It must be quite helpful for you, because, you know, people can hear the ferocity. They can hear the intensity. The only thing is that it just doesn't let up. It doesn't matter if it's the first point of the match or halfway through. You know what you're going to get. It's just like relentless. But I think it does come across quite well, particularly on radio, when people can't see it. You can still feel it, and you feel bad for his opponents. You know,
in this time of no crowds, and I know they have sort of piped in applause for most matches that you hear, but which we know isn't the same, but it's something. I want the players to make a bit more noise. I like the fact that during a point you can pause or say, you know, you can hear Medvedev and you can stop and then you can really hear him. So I like the fact they're making a little bit more noise, because it gives us, especially on radio, a little bit something else to work with, because I think you get used to it whether you're listening to it or you're doing it. But it is different when you have those massive moments, and there's a 30, was it Raonic who saved match point against Umber in a 30-shot rally or something? And in the commentary, we're on our feet. I mean, we're literally on our feet. but there's nothing from the crowd apart from this sort of someone presses a button, there's really polite applause that comes in. So I quite like the fact that I would hate to be in charge of that button, but I like the fact that you're hearing the players a little bit more. So but Rublev, I mean, I if I had to face him, I mean, it's just terrifying. It's just terrifying.
How do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to be overwhelmed by the situation? Because this is very, very new.
There could be an element of that, because look, Novak Djokovic still is surely the overwhelming favourite. You know, Nadal said, look, I got a handful of matches in Paris. It was good. I know what I have to work on. But we know he doesn't really like these. They're not his favourite conditions, right? So you've got Novak Djokovic. He's year-end number one. He's heading towards history. He wants to scoop up more points, more pride. There's, it's what, 1,500 points up for grabs?
Yes, it's the fifth finals. Biggest event. Four slams are worth 2,000. This one's 1,500.
And Tsitsipas won it last year, but he knows he won't lose any points. Is the tour finals considered in the whole saving points in the ranking system? Just because different people.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Just wondering about that. Because it can be, because you don't really, I suppose Tsitsipas, if he hadn't qualified, could say, well, it's not my fault. There hadn't been enough tournaments, so I couldn't get back there. Do you see what I mean?
No, I think it is the same with everything, because you have to keep it consistent. And also, Federer's not playing, is he? So, and he's not losing his points.
Well, Tsitsipas should feel nice and relaxed going in with this 1,500 points that are going nowhere. He can just sort of
have a swing.
I don't know, but I worry more about Diego Schwartzman. I'm hoping he's not in a group with Daniil Medvedev, because it's not a good head-to-head. It's not, and we saw that in Paris.
It's funny, isn't it? Because the way that the rankings go, and it's similar this year. I don't think it's really been any different, actually. I thought it was going to be a bit of a different race, but I don't think it has been any different to how it would have ended up with a normal year. But it really is those last two spots that are interesting, and there's almost sort of six or eight players that could grab them. I mean, the top six are players who are in the top 10, have been in the top 10. Yeah.
You'd expect.
Very, very consistent. Yeah. You really do get six normally that you would absolutely expect, and then you've got like another pool of players, and that filling in that seven and eighth spot, it can be really tough, I think. But I mean, Rublev and Schwartzman, I mean, I don't think anyone deserves it more than them.
I'm really interested to see Dominic Thiem. We know what Dominic Thiem brings to the court, but we also know what players can experience after winning their maiden Grand Slam title, on the men's or the women's side. I mean, it's such a life-changing moment. And he spoke about not really having a lot of time to celebrate or for it to sink in moving to Roland Garros, which wasn't probably the worst thing in the world. Then old Hugo Gaston pretty much finished off Dominic Thiem. He didn't leave a lot of Thiem left for Thiem to progress. And then Thiem took a little bit of time to get himself fully fit because there was a slight niggle. But I'm just interested. Thiem is someone who gives you 100%, but I'm just interested. Life is different. Life is different for all of us at the moment, but he's a Grand Slam champion on top of that, and what that took out of him mentally and physically.
I love how they're the same things. Life's different for us too at the moment.
Well, no.
I mean, he's a Grand Slam champion. We're in lockdown. It's all the same.
Life has been different for everyone this year. And I think also we talked about this last week, didn't we? That some people are saying, well, how can players be tired? Because they've been going on about not playing for 6 months, but they've suddenly had this...
No, listen to last week's episode.
This mini condensed season, the changing surfaces, and also the emotions, the stress of, you know, people have very different personalities. They deal with things very differently. Some don't deal well with being told to stay in your hotel room. You can't go to that bistro. You can't go sightseeing. You can't go and visit someone. If you want to play in this tournament, you have to be locked in and locked down. So I think that emotional and mental pressure on top of everything else. I don't know, maybe the US Open, that was seeing an effect on Novak Djokovic. But it'd be interesting, Dominic Thiem as well, because he's had the life-changing situation of becoming a Grand Slam champ. And just the demands. People want more. People asking more. If that's going to show us a different Thiem in London or not.
Yeah, but we did talk about this after he won, and I really just think that because he's been knocking on the door, he's been so, so close, I think it's much more of a relief. Whereas somebody like a Świątek, I mean, life has just dramatically changed overnight. It's just suddenly incredibly different. You know, I mean, team's been in the Grand Slam finals. People have been talking about him like a Grand Slam champion. We know he's here to stay.
It's different knocking on the door than walking through the door and lifting up the trophy.
Yes, and I agree, but I don't think that the external sort of pressure that's coming at him will be dramatically different. I think it's just kind of like, okay, you've now won the Grand Slam, so now there is a little bit more pressure, but not sort of... Do you know what I mean?
But like did Angelique Kerber in, was it 2016, didn't she meet the Pope or something? I mean, do you know what I mean? There's being talked about, there's being a very good player, there's winning stuff, and then there's meeting the Pope. I mean, that's insane, right? Is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, can you imagine? Right, so you speak to your, I don't know, if your agent, your manager. Right, what are we doing on Tuesday? Well, we're going to meet the Pope. I mean, that's not normal. That's, you know, it's
is
like
he a tennis fan?
I don't know. It's I'm not going to go into loose facts around this. I don't. I'm going to say he's probably very respectful of achievements, but I cannot confirm or deny his interest in tennis. But it's like, you know, football teams who win a World Cup and suddenly they're in front of the, I don't know, the king of their country, or these are. I don't know to what extent that has happened to Dominic Thiem, but it's things like that that you can be talked about and you can knock on a door. You're not meeting the Pope, probably not. Or the king.
They've all met the Pope.
Or the king of Spain. Not that he would have met the king of Spain. But you know what I mean? It's when you go through the door, you lift up the trophy. There might be a little invite to the royal palace in wherever or this. And that is another strain of taking you away from what you should be doing, and that's hitting balls on tennis court.
Right, okay. What cool thing would you want to do then? Okay, if you won a Grand Slam, what's the cool thing you'd want to do? So Naomi Osaka went on Ellen, I think, Ellen DeGeneres show out in the States when she won the US
Open.
Oh, she
did, didn't she?
For the first time. I mean, Serena Williams at this point has met presidents and all sorts.
She's done everything. Yeah, yeah. Talk shows, shopping channels. She's got clothing lines out. I mean, I think that, you know,
what would it be? So you've got we're talking about Pope levels here.
I always think that'd be a real, really interesting question to ask Serena Williams. Like, is there anyone left to meet? Because, you know, you've done everything. So if you say to her, who, yeah, is there anyone that she hasn't met that she would like to meet? In terms of, I wouldn't say no to meeting the Pope.
Well, I mean, why not? It's probably a lovely chat.
But it's huge, isn't it? I mean, to say you've met the Pope is a big. So again,
not the
royal
family,
because
no, you're in Windsor.
I'm not. There's
clearly, I mean, even, a super fan. So
even this week, we have paparazzi on the long walk because they're trying to get photos of various members. They're here, they're not here, they've done this, they haven't done this. So you're running and you're exhausted. You're like tongues hanging out your mouth and you're sweating and you're looking dishevelled. And there's like a line of paparazzi. They're obviously not here to take photos of you running. But although I did in the papers at the weekend see some shots because it was so busy with people out and about. So no, the royal family, I don't want to offend anyone that likes our podcast. I'm not a big royal fan. So I wouldn't say no to the Pope. There's such a surreal conversation we're having.
Yeah, but when you hit a certain status, that you do get to do these weird things. Like, was it Dennis Rodman, the basketball, the NBA player?
Yes.
Didn't he go?
I wouldn't want to meet him.
No. He went to North Korea and met Kim Jong-un.
Okay, so I don't want to do that. Can we just...
But you know what I mean? Is in like, it's just these weird things that you can do. Would you like to be on a sort of a talk show? I don't know.
I don't think
meet
so.
Meet Oprah, for example.
No, again, it'd be lovely to meet Oprah, but it's not. It's if I don't have a bucket list of people I'd like to meet when I win my first Grand Slam, surprisingly enough. So, but you, as a tennis player, maybe, I don't know, maybe someone said, what's your goal being a tennis player? And you say, I want to win Wimbledon. So... You must have more of an idea, because I'm pretty rubbish at coming up with what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
Right, who would you like to meet the Pope?
Well, again, I mean, if he was kind of in the same room, I'd go and say hello, but I wouldn't.
Oh right,
I wouldn't seek him out.
How casual is that? I'd just go and say hello. But if someone said,
sorry, go on.
He's a massive tennis fan. The Pope would like to meet you. Would you say yes or no?
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Sure. So laid back about meeting the Pope. I can't believe
he's
this.
Just
right.
The Pope. Okay. He's a guy.
So So who would get you kind of like, oh my God, I'm going to meet?
Do you know what? I don't know. I don't know if anyone would, to be honest. I'm going to have to think about it, but I would love to hear what the listeners would do. What would be their thing if they got to that sort of stratosphere level of
celebrity? Because I imagine you get lots of offers, don't you? Your team will say, well, we've had... So Naomi Osaka, Ellen wants you on her show, or Oprah wants you on her show, or the Letterman show, or the whatever. There's all these, you know, and after New York, they go on the circuit, don't they?
Yeah.
Of the TV shows, sort of morning and evening. And Hugo Gaston, bless him, at Roland Garros, he was on the nightly French magazine show when he beat Wawrinka and lost narrowly to Dominic Thiem after his 55 drop shot. So there's that moment when, I guess it's that 15 minute, I'm not saying his is 50, but you have that initial burst, and it's if you do something spectacular for your level, or just genuinely spectacular. But it'll be really, well, the Pope's come up a lot.
It's got to be some good ones.
I think it may be some celebrities. I don't know.
But I'd rather hang out with people that I like have a dinner or something, rather than meeting. I don't really see, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's going to lead me into, then I'd ask you like your ideal dinner party. Sort of round table, and that's, you know, when people say you can have four or five people at dinner, sort of dead or alive, which is a little bit macabre,
yeah.
But you can,
but alive at the dinner.
Well, yes, no.
Not just dead bodies that you're chatting to.
But you're that'd be weird. But you could, you know, your ideal dinner party set up, but they don't have to be people that are alive right now, because quite frankly, it's never going to happen. We've got the website. We've got Instagram, because I've got the login and I've kept it. And we've got Twitter. So, but that's, we're coming back to tennis in a roundabout way. That's just my thinking about Thiem is, you know, in this time when he's not been playing, has his every single minute of his day been taken up with PR things and all these other bits and meeting people? So he hasn't been able to do as much as he would have wanted to on a tennis court. And therefore he comes to I don't know, I'm just interested... Djokovic will come in as Djokovic, right? Nadal will come in as Nadal. But Thiem, I'm just...
Great analysis. Top-notch stuff.
You know... excuse me. You know what you're getting.
Who's Diego going to turn up as? Is this like Stars in Your Eyes?
This week, Diego is going to be... but you know what I mean. As in, Diego might be a little bit phased because he's in London for the first time and he's one of eight. Rublev... There might be an element, I don't know, of fatigue of Rublev with the amount he's done this year and this final push and suddenly what they're doing. You know, there's some of them might have some, you know, there's, I don't know. But I just, for me, Thiem, I'm interested to see what Thiem we get.
Is it funny that this is a tournament, is the end of year sort of the top eight? And the last 2 years, 2 years? Because Tsitsipas went last year, Zverev the year before.
Yeah.
Am I right? I think I'm right.
Yep.
But that they've not won a Grand Slam. I mean, Zverev has now been in a final, but I mean, that is their biggest title, is winning the O2, winning the tour finals. I don't know. Is that strange? Should it be somebody who's won a Grand Slam? I don't know.
Why? No, why?
I don't know.
But
it's the best of the best, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's the best of the best. But again, it's a tennis match on a given day.
Yeah. Oh, and you can lose as well. And still win.
So they come in ranked. You know, Djokovic is coming in top and Nadal's coming in second. So yes, they come in on their rankings. But in terms of, you know, X plays Y, X can beat Y and Y can beat X largely.
Largely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not over five sets. They haven't had to win six matches to get to the seventh match to win the Grand Slam. It's a different mindset, isn't it?
It's also not on clay. That might have changed the winner over the last few years.
Yeah, because we have to remember that Nadal, he still doesn't have Paris-Bercy and he doesn't have the Tour Finals.
I know.
Title.
I know. Final, I think, is his best performance, which was way early on.
Yes. Yeah. And we're still waiting for our alternates to be confirmed. It's probably by the time people listen, this probably has. Because the draw's on Thursday. We're recording this on, what day is it?
Yep.
Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? Wednesday. So alternates, because alternates can say, look, I don't want to hang around anymore, or I need to. Because the other thing we've got to think about is, I've been looking at players in pre-season thinking, what on earth are they doing in pre-season November? But with everything going on in Australia and COVID and restrictions and quarantining, it means that they're going to have to start pre-season earlier because their season is effectively going to start earlier.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting actually reading some of the players' comments about going down to Australia and everything that's being talked about at the moment, and that because they're talking about renting whole resorts which have gyms and tennis courts in
sounds
the hotels.
Lovely.
I know, sounds fab. I mean, great. Yeah, let them do that. That sounds great. So they can quarantine for 2 weeks, but they're still able to train. Because, I mean, it's tough enough starting out with a Grand Slam so early on in the season. It's tough for everyone. But if you forced everybody to stay in a hotel room for 2 weeks, they weren't allowed out at all, we could get some interesting results. That's for
well,
sure.
I think, and on Instagram and Twitter, you get some interesting little Insta stories of a player cooped up in his room for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they would be going a bit nuts. But so that's the sort of plan. But then the question that I've seen some of the players say is, well, if we're allowed to train under quarantine, why can't we compete under quarantine? Why can't that just be, say, the tournament's in Adelaide and that's it, or it's Brisbane? Why can't we just go to Brisbane, the whole site is quarantined, and we just compete?
So I guess would the answer be, and that might change, but I guess the answer at the moment would be because there are more people involved when you compete than when you train.
Possibly,
Is that the very, but would that be the basic
add in the umpires
argument
and
for why you're
the
not?
Staff and all that sort of thing? Sure. I mean, I'd probably say the main answer is don't ask for too much. You're already getting a slam. You're already getting a hotel booked out for you, a whole resort. But it was, I just thought it was quite an interesting question, because if you're allowed to train and practice, but are you allowed to train and practice together? I don't know. Are you allowed to just go from your hotel room to the court? Who knows? But it was just quite an interesting thing, I think, put forward. I hadn't even considered. I just thought, 2 weeks of quarantine, if you can still train, makes total sense. And then off you go. But yeah, so we're still waiting to see sort of how it all figures itself out. They're talking about putting some more events on post Australian Open, I think, extending it a little bit. But yeah, we'll see. Looks like the Australian Open's going to happen, and that we'll be able to get people there safely. And they, I mean, as we heard from our friend in Melbourne, they're taking it very seriously.
I've started to think about my hours during the Australian Open. I'm going to be a vampire, pretty much, aren't I? Just completely the opposite.
Yep.
Of...
But as I say, I'll be up.
Yeah, that's so true. How are you getting on?
You ain't getting any sympathy from
me. How are you getting on? I know apparently you might be in labour right now. And again, I think you're dealing with it very well to this point. How are you getting on with dealing with building furniture? Have you started that yet?
It's beginning. It's happening now. It's building. Yeah. It's happening. It's a little bit later on than I would like. But I love DIY. So I love doing a flat
pack. Do you? I didn't know that about you. But are you... Okay, you can love it and you can be good at it. Where are you?
I'm fairly competent,
okay,
I'd say.
All right.
I do most of the DIY stuff, yeah.
So you've got a semblance of something coming together. If this genuinely is labour that you're in right now, you have a semblance of stuff that's there that's ready to go.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It still operates if it's still flat packed and not actually put up, doesn't it?
Oh, is it? God. Well, I'm aware. I've noticed this in our last few podcasts. When you start rocking from side to side, I know that's, but it's like a countdown to us finishing the pod, because you're at that uncomfortable stage and you're just rocking from side to side.
I'm just waiting for you to wrap up now.
You are. I can see it's like a sort of rocking and I start swaying too, and it just all gets a bit. So I'll do the usual disclaimer. You know, we hope we're back next week, but we also hope we get to see the new edition pretty soon.
We'll get one more in.
All being well, and it will be, I'm working on London remotely, but I'm covering every single day. So hopefully we'll have a few insights and bits and pieces from what is going in London. We'll be speaking to colleagues who are actually in the bubble. It's a very tight bubble, as we've sort of highlighted. So we'll find out what life is like in the bubble. We will chat London. We will see how the nursery building is going. But honestly, Naomi is rocking to the point where when she goes to one side, I actually lose part of her in my screen. So keep building, keep rocking.
I'm off.
Please, people, keep sending in baby names and who you'd most like to meet.
Why
you
are you making this so long, Grand Slam champion? let me go.
I'm slightly hypnotised by the rocking.